You're tuned in to Nerd Overload, your weekly show for video games, movies, TV shows, comics, tech news, and more. Now your hosts, Cody Pinnick, Samantha Cross, Sam Dunham, and Josh Harrison.
You could start by entering the room of the three gargoyles. Push in the tongue, climb the stairs to the shrine of the silver monkey. This is Legends of the Hidden Nerd Overload. I'm Olmec, the big talking head man.
I'm Cody, and I'm one of the blue barracudas.
I'm Josh, I'm a silver monkey.
I'm Samantha, and I'm a temple guard. Watch out. I'll get you.
Oh, boy. I always thought, man, if I was doing that temple run, the temple guards would, I would just pee my pants.
Just immediately.
Yeah, I would be just so terrified.
Oh, yeah, no, you could see the terror in the children's faces that old show when they would jump out. Oh, yeah.
And also, when I was that age, I couldn't do a haunted house without crying, but that's neither here nor there. This is time for Nerd Overload.
Nerd Overload, your favorite popping geek culture show. We have a great show for you this week. Thank you all for tuning in. We have a bunch of news to go over, but first, let's talk about some things we've been checking out.
Yes, let's do a check it out segment this episode.
Let's do a check it out. Who has a check it out?
I went to the Ohio State Fair.
Yeah, how was it?
I have never been to the Ohio State Fair before.
Really?
Yep.
I hope your hopes weren't too high. Your expectations weren't too high.
It was a state fair, yeah, but it was a very large state fair.
Oh, yeah.
I got lost. Like trying to like get my way back out to the car.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't realize there wasn't just a front gate. There were multiple gates.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's a big deal.
It's easy to lose your car in that parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
I had to park by the crew stadium.
That's what I usually end up doing.
Moffrey.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Yeah, Moffrey Stadium or whatever.
Yeah.
It's not good enough for the crew, apparently, but...
No, it wasn't bad. I mean, it was very hot, very sunny.
Sure.
As soon as I walked in, there was somebody dressed as an astronaut, like in a very convincing astronaut costume.
Yeah.
Like a modern astronaut.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh man, that must be horribly hot.
And then they collapsed onto the pavement.
Their ghost went to space. It wasn't bad. I ate food.
Well, that is usually the thing. Did you get any of the weird food?
Yeah, what was the grossest thing you ate?
I just ate ice cream, really.
You got to get the fried cheese.
Deep fried Oreos.
I've had deep fried Oreos before.
Chocolate covered bacon is really good.
Yeah.
I saw this really weird, like, cowboy competition.
Cowboy dipped in chocolate.
The deep fried chocolate covered cowboy.
It was called the Duke.
The Fairtime Classic.
But no, it was like this horse riding competition they do, but they also shoot guns off a horseback and destroy balloons.
Just right into the crowd?
I think they're, because my camera actually got some of the shots right when the gun fired.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
And
it saved your life.
But it seemed like it was probably like maybe low caliber blanks or something. It was probably enough to pop a balloon, but not enough to like for a round.
Oh,
to
yeah,
go stray.
Probably. Yeah.
Like airsoft, maybe.
No, there was definitely gunpowder.
Mm.
Huh.
But no, like they have to like ride this horse, like this obstacle gauntlet or whatever. And also at the same time while they're shooting these balloons, It was really neat to watch.
Yeah, that sounds pretty rad, cool. Actually. Yeah.
I didn't see the next two shows, what one was rifles, like lever action style rifles. And
okay.
Then the next one was like shotguns.
Oh, nice.
Huh.
Wow.
It was loud. It was fun.
Cool.
There's a lot of baby goats.
Mm. Oh, there's so many, so many baby goats.
Yeah.
And they were voracious for those apple or those carrots you can buy. They were hungry for those carrots.
There's a good flea market in there too. Oh, yeah. I always like poking in the flea market.
Yeah, that's where I got my my phone case.
Oh, nice. Oh, Very cool. Nice. I like it.
My laminated wood laser etched octopus.
Cool.
To the people at home, Josh's phone case is an octopus.
I remember the first time I had been to the state fair. I didn't go until, you know, we were adults. I think you guys were there. It was that concert. It was the,
Bowling for Soup concert.
Yeah, go ahead.
I went to the Nintendo Switch summer tour truck.
Oh, cool. Yeah, how was that?
Crowded.
Did you get to play anything that's not out yet?
No, everything they had was out.
Oh, lame.
They had Mario Kart, Smash Brothers, Mario Maker 2, Splatoon 2, Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3.
1-2 Switch, oddly enough.
No. Overcooked 2.
Nintendo likes that one.
Yeah.
They like pushing that one.
I liked the first one. I liked the game.
Yeah.
It's fun.
Man, they could have at least had Luigi's Mansion.
No.
They were demoing at E3. There's no reason they couldn't have had it there.
They didn't.
Shame.
But one of the like little gimmicks you had was this Nintendo passport they handed to you as you were coming in. And basically you had to play like X amount of games and they signed off on this thing. And when you got it all filled out, you scanned your code from your My Nintendo account and you randomly were awarded exclusive swag or whatever.
Oh, that's cool.
It's like that stamp rally at that Pokemon event we went to.
Oh, yeah.
What Pokemon was that? It was a couple generations ago.
We had one with Oshawa.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But at some mall in Northeast Ohio had a Pokemon event where you got to play the game, and then you had to find all these stamp stations in the mall, and they'd stamp your card, and once you had them all, you got a random swag.
Oh, that's... Well, you got to spin a wheel, and I want a stuffed Oshawa.
Yeah.
Nice. Excellent.
Yeah, this thing was like this. It was a program that just randomly like selected a thing, mm-hmm. and I got a hat. And apparently, the hat is what everybody wanted.
Oh, nice. Cool!
The Smash Brothers hat.
Yep, it's a black hat with a mesh back on it. Says Super Smash Brothers on the front.
Excellent.
Beyond that, I got a little sunburnt. Saw some stuff. Went through this really interesting in one of the indoor areas where they were showcasing how technology can aid in agriculture.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Like using drones to mm-hmm. do things, check crops, things like that.
Nice.
There's one I never really thought about it before, but it was like the differences in machinery locomotion, I guess, and mm-hmm. how it affects the soil.
Sure, yeah.
Versus like wheels versus treads.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently treads are better for soil because it doesn't impact the ground
right,
as hard.
I was going to say it probably stretches the distributes the weight of yes. the machine over so it doesn't push down as far. Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't create like ruts in the ground.
Yeah.
But makes they had sense. All these like robots and stuff like just doing these different experiments and stuff. I'm like, that is really neat.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Hey, did you see the butter cow?
I saw some of the butter statues.
Oh, but you got to see the cow.
You got to see the butter cow.
Oh, you blew it. You got to go back it. Now.
Apparently did.
Yeah.
Well, the dairy place where the ice cream and stuff was so packed.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I mean, it was like elbow to elbow. Like, you couldn't. Like...
Also, it's air conditioned in there, I believe.
Yes.
Probably had a lot to do with it.
Well, that's in the rotunda where they do the roller derby, right?
I think.
I believe so.
Okay, yeah. Mm. Right there in the middle of...
At least they did the roller derby there last year. I don't know where they did it this year because we didn't go to a single one.
Same here.
Apparently there was a Hank Williams Jr. was there and he did a concert.
Nice. They've run a lot of concerts through there. God, yeah.
They haven't had any good ones the past couple years, though.
That's a matter of opinion. I mean, I don't care about country music or anything like that, but...
Yeah, like... Last
Wasn't
one I went
Weird
to
Al there like 2 years ago.
Yes.
Weird Al's been there.
Very good show.
We saw Weezer there a few years ago.
That was a good show too.
Bowling for Soup was really good. I saw Cheap Trick and Peter Frampton.
Peter Frampton was good.
That was really good. Actually, that's the thing I could check out. I could say checked out. I went to Peter Frampton farewell tour is going on. He has a form of, I think it's MS or something like that, where within the next 2 years he's going to lose the motor skills to play guitar.
Oh, man.
And it's a shame. So he's doing one big, huge farewell tour. So my dad and I went down to Riverbend down in Cincinnati and saw it live. And
sounded fun.
A fantastic concert. Oh, my God. Probably one of the best concerts I've been to. Super, super good.
Did he show you the way?
He did show me the way. Yes.
Did he come alive? Did Frampton come alive?
He said, I want to thank you with the robot voice. He did it. He did the thing. He actually played my favorite cover of that he does. He does a bunch of covers as well as regular songs. He played Black Hole Sun.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Won't You Come?
Yeah. Just a fantastic concert. But anyway.
No, that's fine. That was the end of my thing.
Oh, that was? Okay. Well, I could talk about one quick thing because I know, Cody, you and Samantha did a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, we got a pile.
Yeah, so let me just do this one real quick. So online, there is a YouTube channel called Defunctland. They usually do these mini documentaries about old...
Mostly theme parks.
Theme parks or theme park rides. Sometimes they do television series, that sort of thing, where they talk about... They kind of do a deep dive of, you know, certain topics or whatever. And for the last, month and a half, maybe?
You're going to talk about the very good...
Jim Henson
documentary.
I'm going to talk about
the
really excellent Jim Henson documentary. The guy did a 6-part retrospective of Jim Henson from the very beginning in Washington when he was working on the show Sam and Friends all the way up until the very end, including his funeral. The last episode was incredibly sad.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, did you finally watch it?
Yeah, I watched it.
Yeah.
It's tough.
It's tough to get through that. Yeah, that last one. But I did not realize. I mean, I always knew he had, he was pretty prolific with everything that he had done, but I didn't realize how prolific like his career had been, especially in the early days, the pre Muppet Show days, like the Wilkins coffee commercials. Yeah, those are pretty wild.
It's like some of the earliest like funny commercials too.
Yeah.
Before then, commercials were always just like, here's why you should use Abraxo powder on your knee.
Yeah. but no, it was really good. And I guess I had also forgotten or kind of, because we look at movies like The Dark Crystal and Labyrinth as these big pinnacles of like
Star Wars,
that sort of thing. Yeah.
Like I was astounded that Labyrinth didn't do well when it came out.
And both of those movies kind of tanked.
I had no idea Labyrinth tanked. I thought it was always beloved.
Yeah. So that's wild. So in Disney World, there was always one Muppet themed thing, and it was one of those 3D movie things. And I always thought, okay, why is this the only Muppet themed thing of this entire park? And why is it like in a corner of the park where there's like nothing beyond that one thing? Turns out he passed away in the middle of talks of selling the Muppets to Disney. And that was like a good faith kind of thing that he had developed for them was that one ride. In that ride, there was a 3D character. And I always thought
Waldo C. Graphic, I think that was his name.
Yeah. And I always thought that that was just a thing that they had developed for that, you know, attraction. It turns out it was on the Jim Henson Hour, which was a Walt Disney Presents style show that he had done. There, you know, in the early 90s. Just a fantastic documentary. Definitely worth checking out. I don't like the guy who did the documentary too much. I think he is a little deadpan. That Kevin Perger.
Kevin Perger, yeah. Pergerer.
Yeah, he's a little... you can tell he kind of likes... He's kind of up his own butt a little bit.
The way he presents things. He sounds like a Fox News pundit in a weird way.
Yeah. I don't care for him too much, but the information that he gives and the way it's mostly presented in the documentary is fantastic. Plus, he has a thing against Michael Eisner, and it's always funny when Eisner pops up in any of his things.
And he's way better than that Yesterworld guy.
I don't know who that is.
it's another channel that does the same thing, and he just tries way too hard to be funny and never hits.
Mm.
It's like, just tell me about the Matterhorn or some crap. Like, I don't want to hear your dumb jokes.
So, kind of a branch off from your Jim Henson thing.
Sure.
There is a, at Kosai right now, there is like a big Muppet exhibit.
Oh, I want to go to that so bad.
I would love to go to that. Kosai costs too much to get in.
I haven't been to the new Kosai since they first opened.
But yeah, that's the one thing with Kosai that it's supposed to be a learning like center for, you know, accessible to all kids.
It's like a science museum.
And when they're charging like $40 a head to get in or whatever.
How much it costs to get into Kosai?
I always thought it was like $35 or $40 to get in. It's expensive. It's prohibitively expensive.
And now they got that Kosai After Dark for like adults and stuff, and I'm like, oh.
And that cost way too much too.
We went to that when they did the miniature G-Dex thing, and it was pretty cool.
I think I was there for that one?
No.
Okay.
I remember them talking about it though.
Yeah.
I always miss like their good exhibits. Like I miss the Titanic exhibit.
I miss the Star Wars.
I miss the Star Wars one. Mm-hmm. I think they had a pirate one that was pretty good too.
Yeah.
And I missed that one.
Do you remember the old Kosai?
Oh, yeah. I went a few times to the old Kosai.
I love that old Kosai. I thought that was great.
It's $40 to get into Kosai.
Yeah,
you weren't kidding.
Yeah, you spend a small fortune. I mean, think if you have, you know, a couple of kids and you get everybody in there and then, you know, they're going to want to buy stuff. You could drop like a couple $100 just to get into Kosai. That's crazy. It's insane.
Probably what was always, most of the times I ever went, it was a school trip.
They got to pay for all those new dinosaur bones.
They do, yeah.
Which I haven't seen those either.
Yeah.
Anyway,
now that I've done ranting like an old man.
Do you want to talk about the ghost hunt, or do we want to wait till after I've listened to the recordings?
So you went on a ghost hunt?
We went on a ghost hunt.
Okay.
Well, we went on vacation.
An accidental ghost hunt.
We went on vacation in Michigan with my family. We do it every year, and my mom signed us up to go on a ghost tour.
Okay.
At an old, like, bar and inn that's on the lake out there.
Mm-hmm.
Did I say it was Houghton Lake? We get a Houghton Lake.
Oh, okay. So,
yeah, we thought it was a tour, and they were just going to walk us around. And
the hotel, like, tell scary stories.
Sure, yeah.
But it was a full-on, like, ghost adventure style.
Us slowly realizing when she read it was 2.5 to 3 hours long, we're like, oh, no.
But it was like the real deal. They gave us like the little electromagnetic reader thingies.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, we did the EVP recordings where you ask questions to ghosts and hope they respond in your recording. We ask questions to nothing and get no response.
Sat in the dark with a couple of weirdos.
Oh, okay.
We weren't the only ones that showed up, which mm-hmm. that was another thing we were worried about. Would just be us and the tour guide.
Just sitting in a dark room by yourselves?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
It wasn't for better or for worse.
Well, as long as they're not like screaming like the ghost hunter guys or whatever.
Yeah, like, we didn't have any Zach Braggins?
Zach Braggins,
almost. Yeah.
One guy almost was. He was into it.
Yeah.
Oh, there's a temperature fluctuation.
Yeah, that's pretty much what it was like.
Oh my gosh.
Do you remember when ghost hunters used to have like their like all night like
the Halloween live show? Oh, yeah. Yes, I loved that.
Oh, I know.
But I went in there like a little anxious, like, oh, what if we see something? What if there's ghosts, or what if, you know, what if we actually catch something? And then like about 20 minutes to a half hour through, I'm like, I'm just standing in a dark room. Like, if anything, it made me believe in ghosts less. Because we didn't see anything. We didn't even close to see anything. I did make recordings when there was a point of the tour where they actually cut you loose and say, go explore and,
okay,
you know, do your own investigation, which was fun. It was pretty fun.
That's cool. Okay.
But I haven't listened back to the recordings yet because I haven't had time, and I'm pretty sure it's just going to be me listening to half an hour of my own voice, and that's it.
Oh, now you know how Sam feels.
So, yeah. I was going to say, it sounds like me editing a show.
Yeah.
And just hearing a lot of dead audio.
Yeah. Me going, is there anyone here with us? And then nothing. But the people who ran it were very nice. And their property was really interesting, and it had a lot of cool history behind it.
I was going to say, at least did it have, you know,
yeah,
cool history.
There's
stuff.
A lot of, like, apparently it used to be a brothel that ran until 1985.
Wow, all right.
And your mom was down there back then.
Yeah.
And it's just hilarious. I had no idea.
It had huge mob connections.
That sounds about right. It's Michigan.
Yeah.
Nice.
Like, there was another hotel down the way, and there was apparently a tunnel mm-hmm. from the lake to this hotel to the other hotel where they would run liquor during Prohibition.
Oh, wow.
Of course, we didn't see any of that because they don't let people in the basement.
The whole place was kind of run down.
They're
obviously trying to get money to fix it up is their goal.
Oh,
is mostly
yeah.
why they're doing it, they said.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I thought the rundown was part of the aesthetic of the ghost hunt.
No.
Oh, no, when I say it was rundown, it's...
Well, well, my mom looked up at the rafters and noticed, oh, there's been a fire here, because it was all just burnout up there.
Oh, jeez.
I mean, I heard those brothels are a hot time.
Do you want to talk about Wolfenstein a bit, or anything else?
We played a little bit of Wolfenstein Youngblood.
Okay, yeah.
The newest one.
The newest game in the franchise that's a cooperative shooter.
Okay.
And we've only... we're going to talk about it a little bit on the news, maybe.
Yeah.
But it's a cooperative shooter, and we've only played, like, maybe a little bit of the first level because we're both very bad at it. Like, after playing it for, like, 20 minutes, it dawned on me, oh, yeah, I played all the other Wolfensteins in easy mode.
All right. So for folks who don't know what Wolfenstein is, what's the general premise of
this? Well, it's always been a World War II first-person shooter, and it's like the original first-person shooter.
Yeah.
But this new franchise that has about three or four games in it is like an alternate history thing where the Nazis won World War II, and now you're fighting the rebellion against them.
Mm-hmm.
And this one falls into that timeline, and you play as the main character from the other game's twin daughters as they try to find him because he's disappeared somewhere in Nazi-occupied France.
Oh, cool. Okay.
So does this take place like after New Colossus?
Or... Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it's after they've been born and like however 18 to 20 years after that.
And the trailers from E3, it looked ridiculous from that. Does it still have that kind of...
Yeah, I mean, we've only seen a couple cutscenes, but they're pretty ridiculous.
Yeah.
They're just a couple nerds.
Yeah, the twins are a couple of like dorks. They spout like...
Killer dorks.
What?
Killer dorks.
Killer dorks. Well, they're not good at it yet either. Both of them have never killed a Nazi before. And the very first guy that gets, they kill, they just like, the one like immediately throws up.
Oh, jeez.
But she's happy about it.
Yeah, she's like, woo!
Didn't they recently just release like a VR game for...
Yeah, they did. Wolfenstein Cyberpilot, but I have not played it and I've also not heard good things.
Yeah, you control one of like the robot dog monster things. Yeah.
Hmm.
They've said it's neat, but it's too short and too shallow. So it's every VR game ever made.
Mm.
Sounds like it. Yeah.
Except for Resident Evil. But the gameplay feels like the other Wolfenstein. It's really solid shooting.
Cool.
You have shared lives with the other person playing.
Oh, ooh. Interesting. Yeah.
So that really puts the co-op in co-op.
Yeah, but you can resurrect each other. It's only if you both die. You lose a life.
Gotcha. Oh, that's a little easier.
So it's not ruthless, but, you know, don't both die.
It's not like the Ninja Turtles where, like, you're fighting over pizza slices.
Yeah.
That's almost like the new Mario Brothers games where, like, if you're playing co-op and one dies, they float in on a bubble. And you can pop it and res them, right?
Yeah.
Kind of like that.
God, what game did I recently play that was kind of like that? Oh, Cuphead, kind of.
Yeah, Cuphead had a system for that, sure.
Yeah.
Hey, this is not related to anything, but wouldn't it be cool if they put Cuphead in Smash and he was like Mr. Game & Watch?
That would be really cool.
Like, he'd be flat and animated good?
Mm-hmm. That would be awesome. You know, it's a possibility.
Especially with Cuphead coming to Switch, or is on Switch.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was just something I was thinking about the other day.
No, that would actually fit. I mean, they do need to come up with at least two more, and it would fulfill like the idea of a Western game.
Western indie game.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Shovel Knight is referenced, but he's not necessarily a playable character. Yeah. Or anything.
I think if they would have held off putting Shovel Knight as a assist trophy in the base game, he would have been a DLC fighter in these DLC packs.
Yeah, the new ones. Yeah.
I think the assist trophy was the right move, though. Because, sure, he could dig the holes, but, like, other than that, he would kind of be a sword.
He would be a sword guy, but he would have all of his other weapons from...
Like the anchor.
Yeah, the anchor and the fist and the flying dagger thing.
The Infinidagger.
Yeah, the Infinidagger.
Infinidagger! Game Grumps has ruined that for me.
Yeah, yeah.
Which, I don't know. I love Shovel Knight, but I think...
It was the right choice. Yeah. I'm just saying, if he wasn't in it
initially... Oh, yeah, it would work really well.
He would have been a DLC character.
You're just saying that because he saved your butt earlier.
He did. So the new Fire Emblem came out. Fire Emblem The Three Houses.
Mm-hmm.
It's the latest game in the franchise on the Switch. It's a turn-based strategy RPG, just like all the other Fire Emblems.
Mm-hmm.
A lot like the phone game that you can try for free. But it has this layer of, like, scheduling and time management and teaching a class of students on top of it that is very cool and very fun. It kind of feels like a Persona type thing.
I was just going to say, I've heard comparisons that it's more Persona-esque. It's like a Persona strategy RPG at this point.
Where you're picking what to do at what times on your calendar, so you bring up certain stats on certain characters.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like they stuck a visual novel in there with some time management and on top of these turn-based, grid-based strategy battles that are a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. So which house did you pick?
Oh, the red one, Edelgard's, the one with the white-haired girl.
Okay.
Because it had the most mages.
Gotcha. Okay. So, yeah, so the houses are kind of like the Hogwarts houses, but no Slytherin, right?
It's
kind of,
and they're not as like thematic. There's just like they're just from like different places in the world.
Right.
They can switch.
Oh yeah, you can snipe people from other houses.
That's kind of cool.
If you see a character that's in another house and you want them on your team, you can convince them to switch houses.
Okay, cool.
The characters are all really fun, and I've really liked them so far.
Mm-hmm.
They on the surface they all kind of seem tropey, like anime tropes. But the more you get to know them, the more you learn their backstory.
So there's a little bit of layers to the characters.
Yeah,
oh, right on, very cool.
It's really great. I would super recommend it if you've got a Switch.
Mm-hmm. Well, awesome. All right. Well, hey, let's go ahead and take a break here, and when we come back, we'll get into some news. Hey, we're back. That was Can You Picture That from Dr. Teeth and the Electric Mayhem. Because Muppets.
The Muppet movie. The 30th anniversary was actually a couple days ago movie.
That's totally right.
One of my all-time favorite movies of
Great
all time.
Great movie, yeah.
Yeah, but you haven't really seen that many, so.
I've seen most of the Muppet-related ones.
Okay. All right, have you seen The Great Muppet Caper?
No.
Because that's the one that no one has seen, and that's like one of my favorite ones.
No, that's the one I haven't seen, because I've seen The Muppets Take Manhattan. I've seen Muppets from Space. I've seen Treasure Island. I've seen Christmas Carol.
Yeah, I think Great Muppet Caper is one of the earliest situations where I watched a movie where the actors broke the fourth wall and talked to the audience because they, like the opening credits, it's Kermit and Fozzie and Gonzo all like in a hot air balloon saying, okay, well, in this movie, we're going to be playing investigative journalists, so just go with us. It's cool. It's a movie within a movie. So they broke the fourth wall and talked to the audience and stuff like that. I really enjoy it. Plus, Charles Grodin is the jewel thief, and he's pretty great in it. Anyway, let's go ahead and get into some news. Cody, what do you want to talk about first?
Well, we talked about Wolfenstein a little bit during the Check It Outs, and there's been some recent controversy about the microtransactions in the game.
Oh, okay.
A lot of people are mad because they exist, but they're only for cosmetic stuff, like skins for your power armor or skins for all the guns.
Right. Oh, so yeah.
I don't see what the big deal is.
Yeah. You know,
it's not like it affects gameplay.
Yeah.
Right. I can understand that. Now, for folks who don't know, microtransactions are little extra things you can buy. Like a lot of times DLC can be considered, you know, microtransactions or like
every phone game ever made where you can throw them a couple bucks to get some gems.
That's exactly.
They're called gold bars in Wolfenstein.
Okay.
You can give them some cash for some gold bars so you can get, you know, a different outfit.
Mm-hmm. You know, I've never been the type that has gotten upset over microtransactions because I understand that the developers need to make money off of their games so they can make more games.
Yeah, and this is not a full price game either. That's what gets
me
the most.
That's the other thing.
It's not a $60 game. It's a $30 or $40 game depending on what version you buy.
Right, and like you mentioned, these things that you're buying with the microtransactions don't affect gameplay other than, you know, your character has a new hat.
Yeah.
Basically.
Malibu Stacy with new hat.
Right. Like, so yeah, I don't get it.
It's just a bunch of gamers being whiners like it's they not like
the,
to do.
It's not like the Star Wars Battlefront 2 thing where they actually locked like progression behind paywalls.
Yeah. Yeah, you can't pay to be better at the game.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? I think eventually within the next 5 to 10 years, I really think that the argument against microtransactions is going to go away because the majority of game players are still from the generation where all of our games were on cartridges and you couldn't buy DLC or things like that. As we progress and more generations are just, you know, introduced to games and that microtransactions are just a normal part of the game.
Yeah, well, and a lot
cycle,
of kids
whatever.
Just play phone games, and those are just chock full of them.
Oh yeah, they're chock a block with them.
Yeah.
So I don't see this argument having two legs for much longer. But I guess it's a little frustrating.
I guess it really depends on where various local governments go with their.
That is the other thing.
Yeah, legislation with it.
I think this would be totally in the clear legal-wise.
I think
I mean, yeah, that was more about loot crates.
Yeah, you're not buying. Yeah, you're not buying a random box that has that might give you a skin you already have.
Right,
because that's almost considered gambling. What is considered gambling by some?
Yeah,
you know, countries.
I mean, if it was a $60 game, I think this would be an issue. If it affected gameplay, I think it would be an issue.
Yeah,
it's already a pretty good value. The $40 version comes with the $10 buddy pass that lets you play the full game with any other player who's just downloaded the demo.
Oh, cool.
Oh, so I read about that.
Yeah, so you don't have to buy two copies of the game if you want to play it with a friend. You just need the one with the buddy pass.
Oh, that's awesome. Okay, yeah.
So I don't think
Wolfenstein.
Yeah. I don't think anybody's getting screwed here.
Yeah.
Now, maybe if the game isn't that great. I don't know. We haven't played it that long, but it seems like it's worth $40.
Yeah. Well, let's go ahead and move on to our next thing.
Smash Brothers.
We gotta
go from one video game thing to another.
And also, this could be considered a microtransaction because we're going to be talking about a DLC character.
Yeah,
so a few weeks ago, we talked about a couple of the new characters that are going to be added to Smash Brothers. Well, the most recent one that it just came out a couple days ago, Dragon Quest main character, the protagonist, Hero.
The Hero. It's called. They just call it Hero.
Yeah. So he's out. We've all had a chance to kind of play test him a little bit. So what do you guys think?
I mean, he's definitely more than just a standard sword character like a lot of the Fire Emblem characters end up being.
Yeah. If you're going to complain about him being another anime sword man, you're way off base on this one.
Yeah.
Yeah, his play is definitely a bit different.
Mm-hmm. I like the way he looks. I think they really capture the Akira Toriyama art style from the original games while also switching it into a 3D kind of platform.
Mm-hmm.
The variations on the costume where you actually have different versions of the characters from different games is a nice touch.
They did a good selection of heroes from the different games.
They did. Yep.
They didn't get my most favorite one from 5, but they're close enough.
And they also didn't put 7 in there, but I can understand why they would have had to change the whole model to shrink him down because 7's protagonist was a little boy.
They already put Link in the game.
Well, yeah.
he looks like young Link.
He's just Link. Yeah, that's true.
But also, when you do the Heroes Final Smash, you do get to see all the heroes from the past Dragon Quest games like in a big group.
It's very similar to the Mega Man Final Smash.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Except cooler.
It does.
As much as I do love the Mega Man character, it does look better than the Mega Man Smash.
Yeah. You can definitely tell that they put the time and effort into this character. One of his attacks gives you the choice of pulling up a random move from like a list of like almost 20 different like moves. So he has more attacks than any other character in the game, which is just... Yeah. Crazy.
He literally gets a little RPG menu that you choose attacks from.
But you got to choose it quick or else you're going to get hit.
Yeah, because you can't move while the menu's up.
See, that is the one catch I have with the character. I love the character. I think he is really well put together and it is absolutely not for me. I've played quite a bit with him, run some online stuff and some against CPU stuff. And I just can't get it figured out. That menu throws me off so hard.
It's really hard to land those moves when you can't move.
Yeah, between that and I'm so indecisive when it comes to that sort of thing. That's why RPGs give you an infinite amount of time basically to make the selections of your magic spells or whatever, but having to pick them on the fly, I cannot get one of those out before I get hit.
I also feel like if you're not really versed in the Dragon Quest mythos or the games, you might not know what a lot of the abilities might do.
Yeah, because they do have weird names like Kafrizzle.
They're not like Final Fantasy where it's like Frigga and the fire ones and stuff like that.
Yeah. I mean, he has a move called Hatchet Man.
I mean, just...
Whoop, whoop.
I was just going to say, he just slaps on that clown makeup. Yeah. Fago just fills the screen.
Did you hear about the Juggalo makeup? It can't be detected by...
Oh, facial recognition technology.
Yeah, scrambles facial recognition. Yeah.
I wonder why.
Who knew that when we hit the dystopic future police state, the resistance will be led by those Fago-drenched clown...
Folk. Clown folk.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
But anyway, Hero, he's a lot of fun. I can't wait to I am going to make the attempt to try to learn him a little more, but I...
He's not going to be your main anytime
soon. He's not
going to
be my main. No, definitely not.
Man, that legendary spirit board was a bit rough.
Yeah, that's the other thing that kind of came with it. There was a whole update with the game. They made some pretty key changes. They added a 32-man online tournament-style bracket, which is a lot of fun. I got to try that out a little bit. That was pretty cool.
I should do that and go get my butt kicked.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hero got a Dragon Quest themed stage along with him, and honestly, I'm not too impressed by the stage.
They could have done better with it.
It reminds me a lot of another stage.
Like four or five of the other stages.
Yeah, where you're just flying around.
It looks a lot like the Bayonetta stage, where you're on a floating platform with a bunch of weird stuff flying behind you.
At least that one called back to an exact moment in that game. Mm-hmm. This one is just kind of like you're flying around the map from the latest game, and like...
That's kind of it.
There's so many better things they could have did. They could have did a dungeon or like a little town or
airship.
Something. Yeah.
Yeah. Nope. I agree. So one of the other things they added is a spectator mode where you can actually watch, and it's not really betting because it's all fake currency or whatever, and your currency never goes down, but you can, people that are playing online matches, you can just sit and watch. And
basically, you're just voting to see who you think's gonna win.
Yeah, if you pick right, you get some Smash money.
The DLC Smash board. So Smash Brothers, folks who don't know, they have these little extra things. They're called spirits, but they're basically nice glossy JPEGs of a bunch of pictures of things that relate to a bunch of the characters from the different games.
Think digital stickers.
Yeah. Essentially.
Like basically any video game or Nintendo character you can think of probably has, if they're not a playable character in the game, mm-hmm. they're on that board.
Yeah. They're like
or they're Mike Jones.
But they're like stickers or like trading cards, that sort of thing. And a lot of times you have to actually fight CPU characters under certain specific, you know, parameters in order to kind of unlock that card or whatever. And the last one, the toughest one that is attached to the Dragon Quest character, is so incredibly difficult. I've been banging my head against a wall on that thing for days, and I cannot do it.
What is the spirit of?
It is Heroes Companions, and it is seven things in a stamina battle that pop up like one or two at a time. They all have projectiles, and about halfway through, you get a Sheik with a giant laser sword that stretches halfway across the stage, and you cannot get close to it, and it drives me insane.
But it's a lot like Joker's final one that was a real pain.
It is. But Joker's one, I got that one first try. That one
really?
Was pretty...
That one took me a while to do.
Yeah, I was able to get that one first try. This one, I just cannot get past.
Stamina battles are really tough.
They're tough.
It basically feels like if you don't have like a spirit companion that doesn't have three slots and just stack it with stamina, boned.
Yeah, it's real tough.
Though I was doing it and I forgot it was a stamina fight, and I was like, and I died, and I was like, oh.
Yeah.
I thought they'd pick some kind of Dragon Quest villain like Dracolord or Hargon or something.
So that'd be cool, but I think the problem is because they're trying to be all inclusive with all of the Dragon Quest games in this, if they picked one villain, it would leave out all of the other villains. Yeah. You'd have people say, well, why didn't you pick this villain? I'm just happy we have like Slime and
Dracky.
Yeah. The Slime spirit is upgradable. You can turn it into a King Slime.
Nice.
And that's pretty great.
That Ladies call me King Slime.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
All right. So next up. Okay. So we're talking about characters, DLC stuff. Let's talk about Street Fighter for about 2 seconds. This weekend is EVO. So out in Las Vegas, there's a huge, huge, like 3 or 4 day fighting tournament. It's like
fighting game tournament. Not
yeah.
physical fighting.
No. Well, I mean, there may be some physical fighting. We don't know what happens in those side rooms. But yeah, it's a fighting game tournament. It's almost like San Diego Comic Con, kind of for fighting games, and they are pretty amazing. So, and there have been a couple of news leaks with characters or games or this, that, or the other. And Street Fighter V, they leaked 3 new DLC characters.
I think they've officially just announced it at this point.
At this point, yeah, probably.
Typically, they do when there's a leak.
Yeah.
But the 3 characters that they picked are all returning characters from past games, although one of them has never been in a Street Fighter-type game. We have E. Honda, which is one of my favorites.
Yeah, good sumo boy.
Yeah, it's surprising mm-hmm. he's not already there.
I know, right?
I know, especially since he was so big in Street Fighter 2.
Yeah, he was one of the OG Street Fighters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been missing. He's been the only Street Fighter 2 character that hasn't made it into the game yet. So it's time.
How are you supposed to cheese a 100-hand slap if he's not in the game?
I know, right?
It's like between that and Chun Li's kick.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we have that. We have Poison from Final Fight. She's also shown up in a bunch of other Street Fighter games.
Street Fighter Cross Tekken, I think, was the last game.
Cross Tekken. She was also in 4. Yeah. Pretty excited for her.
Poison rules.
Fan favorite. We'll call it that. And the other one, and this one I am actually going to have to take 2 seconds and look up the name, so I'm vamping.
It was something with an L. It was Lydia Dietz from Beetlejuice.
It is. Yeah, that's it.
But no, it was cartoon Lydia Dietz, though.
Yeah.
So no, the character's name is Lucia.
I was close.
Yeah, you're close. She is one of the playable characters from Final Fight Revenge, which is a side-scrolling beat-em-up, but it's set in the
Final Fight universe.
Is that the one that was on like the Saturn or something weird like that? Yeah.
It was. Yep. So they've added her in. I think she took the place of Cody from that Final Fight game, essentially.
Because he was probably like in prison.
He was in jail. Yeah. So yeah, these are all pretty interesting. I wish there was a wholly new character, because this time last year they introduced G, and G rules. Weird fighting president man.
Captain Planet Lincoln.
Yeah, basically.
President of the world.
Yeah, but you know, we know almost nothing about this Lucia character, so we'll take it. That's cool.
Nobody's played Final Fight Revenge.
Nobody.
Literally
has.
No one.
Yeah. I don't even think the dev team played Final Fight Revenge.
I'm just excited for E. Honda, though. He was one of my go-tos back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
Between him and Dalsim.
I love Final Fight. Not only because the main character's name was Cody, but just because it's a rad game and it has all that sick lore.
Yeah.
Like the weird Street Fighter pulls are always coming from Final Fight.
Mm-hmm. I wish we would get Mike Hagar in this game.
Yeah, that's been a long time coming, is Mike Hagar in Street Fighter.
Either Mike Hagar or someone from Saturday Night Slam Masters, because it is technically in the Street Fighter canon, but the only connecting strings is Mike Hagar as a fighter in Saturday Night Slam Masters, and his fighting partner is in Street Fighter. Plus, I guess Gunlock is unofficially Guile's brother from Saturday Night Slam Masters. It's a wrestling game.
An arcade, or did it have a Super Nintendo?
It had a Super Nintendo port. Okay. It wasn't a very good port, but it had a Super Nintendo port. We're getting way into the weeds on fighting game stuff, so yeah, let's... Let's go ahead and move on. Do you want to do a non-game one?
Yes,
just kind of break up?
We've been in the game woods.
The game zone.
The game zone brought to you by Extreme Bull Horn Energy Drink.
Drink Surge.
I wish. I miss Surge.
All right.
Yeah.
My kidneys don't.
I almost said Extreme Blue because I watched Clone High the other day.
Oh, yeah. So let's talk about some Netflix things. So
in this new segment, just Netflix things.
Just Netflix things. Yeah. It's in like cursive, like that script.
Netflix and news.
Yeah. So we've been hearing rumor, or not rumor so much, but like there have been a couple of Nickelodeon based television movies that have been in kind of development limbo for a while now, the Rocko's Modern Life movie.
Not just that, they've been done for a while now.
Yeah, but the Rocko's Modern Life movie and an Invader Zim movie. Well, Netflix has bought the rights to them, and they will be airing them.
Since Nickelodeon apparently was not going to do anything with them.
And that's crazy that they weren't going to do anything with
them. I have a theory.
Okay.
Well, I have the reason, but you can do your theory first.
Well, I think my theory is the fact that, like, unlike, like, Hey Arnold, which did make it to air, its TV movie, was the fact that the era in which Zim and Rocko come from, those cartoons tend to be a bit, I think, more than what Nickelodeon wants, like, as far as, like, kind of pushing the envelope of content on younger audiences.
Yes and no, I guess. Rocko was one of the original Nicktoons.
I know, but if you really get into it, it's...
There's some stuff in there, but...
Are you ready for the real reason?
Let's hear the real reason.
Nickelodeon, a lot of management changed at Nickelodeon, and the new management was not into the idea at all.
Oh, really?
What, of bringing back TV movies of beloved Nicktoons.
Yeah.
Oh, that sucks. That's a bummer.
Stupid.
Yeah. But that's why.
but hey, that just means that Netflix can air these two movies and we can finally watch them. This is pretty exciting stuff.
And Invader Zim fans can finally shut up and Jonah Vasquez can go back to being a grump on Twitter.
Some kind of grumpy hermit. Yeah. I'm super, super duper excited for the Rocco one. I think it looks great.
Yeah.
I think it's going to check all the boxes for us, in our age range.
Absolutely.
I'm apprehensive about the Invader Zim one.
Well, listen, he had to do something with the character because Hot Topics aren't going to sell GURPS things for much longer.
Yeah, he had to keep them at least partially relevant.
Yeah.
I'm just worried that style of humor isn't going to hold up in 2019.
It's not. That style of humor was passé almost 20 years ago, if you think about it.
Man, they could have, he could just put out a new comic. He hasn't done a comic in a while.
There is a comic.
Oh, right.
There's a Zim comic.
I forgot about those. It's not very good.
It's okay.
I stopped getting it. I haven't canceled a comic midstream in a long time. I stopped getting Zim because it just felt like
watered down Zim.
Yeah. Although I will say I haven't watched Invader Zim in probably 15 years.
No, I've watched it sooner than that because I loved it. And I've watched every episode with the commentary on the DVD type of thing. I was a huge fan. And I'm sure a lot of it is still very hilarious.
Oh, I'm sure.
I just don't know if they can do it again.
Strike that lightning again.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I guess the question is, if these movies do monumentally well, what are the chances that they will revive the series as a full-blown thing? I know the guy who does Rocco wants to.
I don't think Zim would.
I don't think.
I feel like Jonah Vasquez could probably use it as a vehicle to end the story.
That's what I think he's going to do. Yeah, he's going to put a cap on Invader Zim with this movie.
Well, that's both cool and also kind of sad because the original idea was the last season of Invader Zim was going to be Dim going to the alien planet.
The Irken world.
And it was going to be called Invader Dim.
Dib.
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 Dib. See, that's, again, I haven't watched Invader Zim in so long, I can't remember the names.
Yeah, they had a lot of great, there was going to be a whole alien resistance that fought the Irken, and they had a lot of great ideas that were...
Wasn't his angry goth sister supposed to be some kind of secret robot or something?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Knowing their dad, who knows?
Yeah.
Like, the fact that his dad, the level of, paternal love he gets from his dad is, an autographed picture. Yeah. Saying to, my greatest fan or something like that. He's half the time he doesn't even remember he has a son.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Professor Membrane is one of the unsung best characters in the series.
Yeah. Well, like you, Cody, I am more excited for the Rocko's Modern Life movie than the Invader Zim, but I'll watch both of them.
Oh, yeah.
Because why not?
I'll be very excited to see the Zim movie, too. I'm just worried it won't be as good as I want it to be.
Yeah, especially since it's already done. Because I feel like a vehicle on Netflix could really help Zim, maybe? But I don't know.
Yeah.
Either that or it would oversaturate it too much, and then it just wouldn't be as enjoyable.
I don't think that Netflix's pockets are deep enough to buy either entire franchise.
Yeah.
They might be able to work out a deal but then they're dealing with Viacom that pulled all their stuff off of Netflix a long time ago. Yeah, so I don't know.
Yeah. That's kind of the weird thing with this is how are they getting away with that?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know the exact specifics of it, but I don't see them making a series out of this. I think we should just consider ourselves lucky we got to see it at all.
We're getting what we get. Yeah.
We didn't have to watch a bootleg DVD that Jonan Vasquez snuck out of Nickelodeon, the Nickelodeon vault.
Yeah.
Where they keep all those Double Dare episodes.
Do you think if these are popular enough, if it might revitalize similar projects?
Like if we get an All Real Monsters?
That would be
maybe
awesome.
Maybe a TV movie.
That would be awesome.
I'd be in for that. Yeah.
I'd be interested in that just for the animation. To see
or, God, what was another
If you one? Say Doug, you can get out of my house.
I was gonna say Angry Beavers.
Okay, yeah. No, I'm banking on the live action Angry Beavers starring Owen Wilson and Ben Stiller.
Owen Wilson being Norbert?
Yeah.
I knew where you were going with that.
Oh, yeah.
That's excellent casting.
But yeah, it would be kind of cool to see some of the revival of the old Nicktoons. But if Nickelodeon had management changes and they're not interested in that kind of thing right now, I think our chances are slim and none to see any other projects.
I feel like a lot of Nickelodeon, like the current culture of Nickelodeon is they're
SpongeBob. They're
trying to push away from like cartoons. It's all like live action kids show stuff. Like it's on Disney now.
Victorious and the iCarlys. Although I think both of those shows have been off the air for like canceled. 10 years. Yeah.
Well, they want another SpongeBob, and if something comes out and if it's not immediately as big as SpongeBob, they're like, well, we can get better ratings if we just play SpongeBob repeat.
Yeah. Although, I will say, the SpongeBob live action episode is kind of exciting.
Yeah.
Have you seen any of that stuff where they have the voice acting
the
cast?
Actual voice actors dressed up as their characters?
Mm-hmm. As like human versions of their characters.
Yes.
Super exciting.
It's really funny to see like Clancy Brown sitting there. Like, yeah. Like at first I couldn't tell he was in a costume because he's just wearing a blue shirt and jeans.
I love SpongeBob and I've always loved SpongeBob.
When it was first on the air, I could take or leave SpongeBob, but I had the opportunity where I basically had to sit and watch a lot of SpongeBob over a very short amount of time. And it grew on me. It grew on me a lot.
I mean, they put out another, like, I remember when I told you I had that set, the first 100 episodes?
Yeah.
They brought out another one called the next 100 episodes.
The next 100 episodes, yeah.
So I have, like, the first 200 episodes of SpongeBob on DVD.
It's nice.
The way The Simpsons is to us as crinkly old 30-year-olds, mm-hmm. SpongeBob will be to generations after us.
So you're saying in a season or two, SpongeBob's going to get bad?
If it hasn't already.
True, yeah.
I don't know. I haven't watched it in a long time.
Like, Nicole really loves SpongeBob, and she hates with a passion new SpongeBob.
Really?
Basically, for her, it's like those first, like, 100 episodes or so are
probably... Well, those are the Butch Hartman ones, right?
Yeah.
No.
Is that the guy's name?
No, Butch Hartman sucks.
Oh, wait, no, that's... Yeah, that's fairly,
fairly odd parents guy. That guy,
yeah. Steve Hildenberg.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that's it. Wow, yeah, jeez.
It's like you meant to say Mr. Rogers and accidentally said... Walter Matthau in Dennis the Menace.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, hey, speaking of Mr. Rogers, we have time for one last news article. So there was a trailer for a new movie based on Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood and Fred Rogers.
Well, it's a Fred Rogers biopic.
Biopic, yeah. Starring Tom Hanks.
The trailer is very, very good.
It's very good and
very moving.
It's going to make everybody cry like the other Mr. Rogers documentary.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I don't usually go to movies with the expressed interest of crying, but I definitely want to see this in theaters. I kind of am into this. Now, having said that, I did not really grow up with Mr. Rogers.
Really? I did.
I didn't watch a ton of it. I was a Sesame Street kid, and when Sesame Street was off, the TV went off. No, I take that back. I guess Eureka's Castle and Today's Special.
When I was growing up...
Man, that's a Nickelodeon, like, really obscure pull.
Yeah. But you know what? It was on PBS when I was a kid.
That's like a little bits. Yeah. Level full, which is a show I'd completely forgotten about till I saw it on YouTube the other day. I was like... Oh my God.
Yeah. No, Sesame Street, Eureka's Castle, Today's Special, then two Batman 66 episodes back to back. And then TV went off. That was my child. That was like my pre-elementary school, like kindergarten childhood.
When I was growing up and on the farm out in Big Island, mm-hmm. we had an antenna on the house.
Okay. Yeah.
So we didn't get a lot.
Yeah. Well, same here. I mean, we didn't get cable till I was in junior high.
Yeah. It was pretty much PBS and then whatever Fox was playing.
Oh, on the Fox Kids like show where they had live action hosts.
Yeah, what was her name? Play...
Susie Patty.
I want to say her name was Susie.
I feel like you're right.
Yeah.
Because I remember her being on the show until she was getting ready to have her baby.
Yeah, yep.
You didn't live in the area. You lived up nearer to Cleveland and what?
Yeah, this was like straight from like Columbus Fox.
Yeah,
like affiliate.
I had another lady apparently.
Hmm. Probably.
Yeah, her name was Susie, and then when she left, there was a guy and a woman.
Very
co-host.
Very briefly, and then they just went straight to cartoons.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. They'd show off like kids' fan art of Pirates of Dark Water or whatever.
Oh man, Pirates of Dark Water.
Yeah.
That's some like, that's right up there with like some like He-Man level of crap.
Yeah. But,
that was Hanna-Barbera though.
Yeah. But no, but we had PBS and Fox and I watched a lot of Mr. Rogers. Mm-hmm. Though I don't, for some reason, it doesn't stick with me a lot.
Yeah.
It does me for some reason. I don't. I really liked Mr. Rogers.
I didn't. I didn't watch a lot of Sesame Street, but I apparently watched a lot of Lamb Chop.
Lamb
Chop was Lamb Chop was on. My sister watched a lot of Lamb Chop. I'm just glad that we were both at an age where Barney, the purple talking dinosaur, wasn't a thing.
See, that was my nephew and niece. After me.
My brother was the right age for Barney, but he hated him.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, not interested.
Huh.
I never got on the Thomas train either.
You know what? I did watch some Thomas the Tank Engine because George Carlin was Mr. Conductor.
Right.
George Carlin and then Ringo Starr.
Their faces were so creepy.
Oh, yeah.
So creepy. That's like nightmare fuel.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's why like they keep modding Thomas the Tank Engine into PC games.
Yeah. Okay, well, hey, we have gone over on time, so let's go ahead and wrap things up. You've been listening to Nerd Overload. Thank you very much for tuning in. You can find us each and every day over at nerdoverload.com.
You can find us on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, and Instagram at Nerd Overload Now.
You can email us at staff@nerdoverload.com.
Subscribe to our YouTube channel, Nerd Overload TV.
That's right. We're also on various places you can find podcasts like Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, and more. So check us out over there. We have a Patreon, patreon.com/nerdoverloadnow. If you like the show and you want to help support us, you can head over there. You can actually get the episodes a couple days early, which is pretty cool. And last up, we have t-shirts. We have a store page on our main website. You can check that out and get some cool t-shirts.
Wishlist my game on Steam. I'm making a game. We've mentioned it, you know, over time. It has a Steam page. Just search for Believe Psychic Paranormal Adventure on Steam. Give it a wishlist. It really helps me out. It helps visibility around the time it will come out.
Definitely. I've played a demo. It is very good.
Which, as of now, looking at an October release.
Timely. Excellent.
Yeah.
Paranormal. I like it. All right. So, hey, thank you again for tuning in, and we will be back next week.
Pizza out.